We talk about practice. Most of people think that practice need to sit on a cushion quietly, sit still like a statue, right? Most people have such idea. This is the practice, this is the meditation. Okay, this is, of course, but this is not the only way. Okay? Let me ask you first. What is the purpose or why you want to undertake the practice? Why? For what reason? See the truth. What is the truth? What is the truth? What is the reality as it is? You must be able to answer, right? If not, you sit, you do not know what you want, right? You must have clear understanding what you actually want. So if you want the truth, you must know what is the truth you want. Only then you know why I should sit. So this clear understanding is very important for you to gain, for you to move forward, and for you to keep you in the right track. Okay, let me summarize. Maybe say briefly. Usually we practice because we want to overcome our own defilements. Greed, and delusion, right? Because they are unwholesome and they are the causes to prolong our life in the realm of rebirth. So long we do not uproot greed, anger, and delusion, then our stay in the samsara is endless. So the practice, the purpose of the practice is to uproot our defilements. Okay? Then, next question. Where the defilement comes from? From where the defilement enter into your mind? Sixth sense, yes, very good. From the sixth sense. When the eye see the visible, beautiful object, what feeling you have? Pleasant. When you have pleasant feeling, will this pleasant feeling activate the craving? Yes or no? Yes. Is it craving harmful or useful? Harmful. So if it's harmful, should we immediately kick it out or let it stay in the mind? Kick it out. Okay, how to kick it out? Okay, now you know kick it out. Later I will show you how to kick it out. Okay? So, similarly, when the ear, somebody abuse you, when a sound, abusive sound come to your ear, how do you feel? Before angry, you get unpleasant feeling, right? Very unpleasant sound, because it hurts my ego. So unpleasant, and because of unpleasant sound, this unpleasant feeling also activate the anger. So the anger will arise and disturb your mind. At that time, what should we do? Continue to get angry again and again or to kick it out? To kick it out, right? Okay, how to kick it out? I will share with you. I'm going to share with you now. So, you must understand when the practice starts. The practice starts when the sixth sense come to contact with sixth sense object. When the eye come to contact with visible object, or we call color or form. When the sound come to contact with, when the ear come to contact with sound, when the nose come to contact with smell, when the tongue come to contact with taste, when the body come to contact with touch or tangible, and the mind come to contact with all types of fantasy, planning, recollecting the past, and planning for future and so on. Or remorse, or anything, any mental object that come into the mind. So when there is contact, of six sense organ or six sense bases with the six sense objects, the feeling, one of the three types of feeling will arise. If the objects are pleasant, then the feeling is pleasant. When the object is unpleasant, the feeling is unpleasant. When the object is neutral, the feeling is neutral. And if you do not, if we as a practitioner do not aware of the pleasant feeling, then this pleasant feeling will activate craving. Okay? And if the object is unpleasant, then we have unpleasant feeling. If we do not aware of the unpleasant feeling, this unpleasant feeling will activate aversion, anger, irritation, and so on. And if the object is neutral, then our feeling also neutral. And this feel, if we do not aware of the neutral feeling, we think we have no feeling, which is ignorance. So you see, no matter how we react, it's all tainted with defilements, right? Either you react with pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, all are associated either with craving, aversion, or delusion. Then we see no hope. There's no hope. Therefore, as a practitioner, we must first practice what? Sati, mindfulness, awareness, mindfulness. So when the senses come to contact with respective object, you must apply your mindfulness aware of your feeling first. Aware of your feeling first. If you do not aware of the feeling, pleasant feeling, you will be carried away by it and activate the craving. So if you are not aware of your unpleasant feeling activate anger and you will be carried away as well. Therefore, first point, first starting point, we must train our mindfulness, our sati, to be aware of our feeling. This is called Vedana Nupassana Satipatthana. Since one of the, half of you come from Satipatthana Center, you must know how to practice Satipatthana. So this is called contemplation on feeling. Three types of feeling. When it arises, you must aware of it, mindful of it. Okay, when I say mindful of it, how you understand sati, mindfulness? You must understand the meaning of sati first before you can apply, right? Just for example, you must know how to ride bicycle, only then you can ride. So you must understand the meaning of sati first. So how you understand the meaning of sati, mindfulness? Okay, mindfulness mean keep your mind in the center and don't react. Don't react. Keep your mind in the center. Don't sight to the craving, sight to the anger. But in the center, don't react. And accept whatever arises in your mind and body as it is. Okay. For example, now I have unpleasant feeling. So, I am mindful of it. When I am mindful of my unpleasant feeling, I see unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. So when I see, you can mentally note or you can mentally aware unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. Mentally you note unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. The way you note is very important. If you note wrong, you end up in wrong route, wrong destination. For example, you make a mental note. You note my unpleasant feeling. My unpleasant feeling. Then you really think that unpleasant feeling is yours. Then it becomes more and more unpleasant. right? Become more and more unpleasant because you identify that unpleasant feeling is yours. With that ditthi, wrong view, that unpleasant feeling will be strengthened. And you cannot escape from that unpleasant feeling, and it automatically will activate the aversion or anger. Therefore, mindfulness, the way you note, the way you're mindful of it is very important. You just see it, feeling as feeling, not my feeling. Or you do not regard feeling as myself or belong to me. You just see it as a mental factor, which arises due to contact, because of eye contact, because of ear contact. So you see it as it is. Pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling. So when you see, when you see unpleasant feeling or pleasant feeling as it is, and while you are making a mental note, then your action, your reaction is slow down. You don't react impulsively. But without mindfulness, we react very impulsively. When you react very impulsively, either it's rooted in greed or hatred, and the karma is performed. Once karma performed, you cannot erase it. Hold on, let me use the rubber band. Erase it. No, no, no way. Okay? So, mindfulness also can be compared with the brake system in a car. I know everybody, Malaysian, or everybody know how to drive car. Right? What's the function of your brake system? To stop the car. When should you stop the car? Especially when there's emergency. Right? You see the in front of, is a car running to you, rushing to you. You got to stop your car. This emergency. So if you have that mindfulness, you have the brake system to stop your car whenever emergency arises. That emergency is when the mind is under the influence of defilements. When the mind is in anger or in greed or delusion or jealousy or any type of defilements, that is the emergency time that you have to apply your brake system. Otherwise, you meet with accident. When you meet with accident, you hurt yourself and you hurt the other party. Therefore, so when the defilement comes, then you aware of it, break it, then it slow down your action, then you are protected. Therefore, sati also can be compared a protector of the mind. So any defilements, unpleasant feeling arise in the mind, aware of it, step the brick, then you hold it, don't react. Hold the unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling, hold the pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling. But if the mindfulness is slow, sometimes mindfulness come very slow because we are not trained. Right? We are not trained in the way of mindfulness, so mindfulness comes very slow. We call sluggish mindfulness. And the pleasant feeling already become greed, already become craving. Or the unpleasant feeling already activate the anger or the aversion. At that time, we still can aware of our mental state. We see anger as anger, and we see greed as greed. So mentally, you make a note. The mind affected by greed as the mind affected by greed. You don't note my greed. The greed belong to me. You don't note that way. If you note that way, then you will not be able to free from the greed. Neither you can free yourself from the wrong view of identity. Because you already identify greed as myself. Then you are trapped. You are trapped in craving and wrong view. Therefore, the way you contemplate, the way you make a mental note is very important. Okay? So, mindfulness. First, there are two ingredients. When I talk about mindfulness, first, you recognize what is happening at this moment. You recognize it. Without recognize, you sure react to it. So, you recognize it. Then secondly, you accept it. Although it's something unpleasant, you still have to accept it. Why? Why? Because when you accept it, let's say unpleasant feeling, when you see, you accept the unpleasant feeling as unpleasant feeling, then you got the chance to see that unpleasant feeling also will pass away. It gives you a chance for that phenomena to pass away. Only then you can experience impermanence. Otherwise, how are you going to experience impermanence? Every time you react, and you think it's real. You think the unpleasant feeling is real, it's lasting. And you react very fast. Then you have no chance to see it will pass, it's passing away. Therefore, you accept it, hold it. Then, so ingredient two. First, recognize. Secondly, accept it. But as you know, mindfulness alone cannot help you to get out from the round of rebirth. Mindfulness alone cannot help us to see the things as they really are, as impermanent, suffering, and non-self. So after applying mindfulness, we have to exercise wisdom. Wisdom is the only path. Buddha gained enlightenment not through mindfulness, through wisdom. So wisdom must follow after mindfulness. How to apply the wisdom for beginners? So after you hold the unpleasant feeling, let's say you hold the unpleasant feeling or you hold the craving. You hold it, note it, mind affected by craving, as mind affected by craving. Then, now you apply wisdom. You contemplate it as impermanent. Mentally, you note, unpleasant feeling is impermanent. Unpleasant feeling is impermanent. This for beginners. If you do not note in this way, our distorted perception. We have three types of distorted perception. Distorted perception towards happiness. We perceive everything is happiness. This one, distorted perception. The second one, we perceive everything is permanent. This second, wrong perception. And the third one, we perceive everything having an entity or permanent self. This is the third distorted perception. And these three distorted perception are deeply rooted in our mental stream. So if you do not contemplate it as impermanent, that distorted perception of permanent will rise up into your mind, and your mind will regard that pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling or craving as permanent. Therefore, to undo, you all know the computer, right? Very easy to undo one. Undo it. So to undo your distorted perception of permanent, you have to mentally note or label it as impermanent. Every time you note impermanent, then you undo your distorted perception of permanent. How much we have stored the distorted perception of permanent is uncountable, because we have been in the samsara for so long, right? If nobody asks us to contemplate impermanent, we will always perceive things as permanent. So, therefore, we have to apply this wisdom. Whatever phenomena that arise from the body and mind, first, recognize first. Second, accept it. Third, you contemplate it, mentally label it as impermanent, 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 impermanent. Until when? Not until midnight. Not necessary. Until you feel that defilement has go away from your mind. So long it does not go away, you keep on label it. Until it goes away from your mind, then you are safe. You are protected. You will not do any unwholesome karma. Right? Okay. So this is the one of the purpose. There are few purposes why we should contemplate impermanent. First is to undo our distorted perception of permanent. Second, when you contemplate, let's say, you crave for something. You crave for a woman, let's say. A man crave for a woman so strongly. And if you think your craving is correct, then you will meet with suffering. Whole night, turning here and there, cannot sleep. Because you think your craving is permanent. But if you think your craving is impermanent, you lie on the bed, don't think of that woman. But instead, you contemplate your craving as impermanent, 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 impermanent. Keep on contemplating your craving or your longing as impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Then this contemplation will cut your craving, will sever your craving. It's only that you perceive it as permanent, then it grows stronger and stronger. Once you perceive it as impermanent, then the craving will become lessened, lessened, lessened until the craving completely goes away, then you can sleep soundly on the bed. Otherwise, you toast here and there longing for a woman. Okay? This is how the Dhamma can help you. The problem is that we don't know how to apply only. So this is the second reason. Why should we contemplate impermanent? The third reason, why should we contemplate impermanent? Is to teach our consciousness to let go. One word of impermanent, impermanent, unconsciously, this word teach you how to let go your clinging, how to let go your attachment. It's gradually, it's unconsciously, it teach you to let go your clinging and attachment. Okay, this is the third reason. The fourth one, which I think is very important, is when you contemplate impermanent, you synchronize the way you perceive with the truth. Buddha said, Sabbe Sankara Anicca. All formations are impermanent. Nothing exists in the world is permanent. Everything, including your mind and body, your feeling, your anger, your craving, Sabbe Sankara Anicca. This is the fact. No one can escape from it. It's a universal law. But if your mentality, your mind perceives it as permanent, 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 then the way you perceive things is contradict with the truth. Right? Right? Okay. If the way you perceive things contradict with the truth, then you cannot see things as they really are. Just now you all answered, see things as they really are. Now I teach you how to see things as they really are. Right? So the truth is permanent, but I perceive the truth is impermanent, but I always perceive permanent, 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 then you will never see things as they really are. Never see the truth. Because the way you perceive things already block the truth. Therefore, When you perceive impermanent, you synchronize or you tune in, you synchronize the way you perceive with the truth, and the truth will manifest very fast. And you will easily see the impermanent nature of your mental state, good or bad, happiness as well. When you are sorrowful, for example, when you are sorrowful and you think the sorrow is permanent, how can the sorrow leave you? Because you already cling to it as permanent, right? This is one way of clinging. Another way of clinging, you cling to the sorrow as my sorrow, my depression, my anxiety, my worry. If you think it as my, that sorrow also cannot leave you. For example, you catch a fire on your hand, and yet you still think fire is yours. Because you are burned by the sorrow, and yet you still think fire is yours, you don't want to let go. My sorrow. Then the fire have to keep on burning you, of course, right? But if you say sorrow is not mine, it's impermanent, then you let go. Then you are free from the burning of your own distorted perception. Right? Therefore, you should contemplate impermanent. Sometimes, if you contemplate impermanent, then you still feel very permanent. It seems it doesn't work well. Then change your labeling. Change, contemplate non-self. Sorrow is not myself. If you contemplate impermanent, you say you still feel you are sorrowful. Then contemplate sorrow is not myself. Sorrow is not myself. Sorrow is not myself. Contemplate it again and again until you feel the sorrow separate from you. Before you see the sorrow state separate from you, sometimes the question may come. Sorrow is not mine, then whose? Whose? I really feel the sorrow and you tell me contemplate sorrowful is not mine, then whose? Whose? Sorrow is belong to cause. Sorrow is just an effect produced by certain causes. For example, air crash. If one of our relatives, our beloved son or spouse or sister, brother, die in the air crash, do you feel sorrowful? Yes or no? Okay, so do you contemplate? Do you contemplate? Yes or no? Oh, good student. So how you contemplate? How you contemplate? I think you must meet with, like loss of family, loss of relative, or loss of your own health. So how you contemplate? So you contemplate first your feeling first, unpleasant feeling, sorrowful. So you contemplate sorrowful is not, it's impermanent, right? If you don't contemplate impermanent, then you may sorrow for, let's say, 1 month. If you contemplate impermanent, you sorrow for 1 week. If you contemplate again, sorrow is not myself, then you sorrow for 1 day only. So this is the way how the Dharma can help you, right? So after you contemplate sorrowful is not myself, then a question comes, then whose? Then you start to ask, what? If you start to know, sorrow is produced by, sorrow is produced by cause. Your mind is easily get distracted. One sound, all the head turn to there. No one see me anymore. So the mind has no strength. When listening to the Dharma, concentrate. Don't care about what's happening in the surrounding. This is called the strength of the mind. If not one sound, you lost all the mindfulness. Don't know what the teacher talk about. I got to stop. I got to stop. Okay? So, when you contemplate the sorrowful is not myself, then it will come a question. The question will arise in your mind. Then, whose? Then when you ask whose, you start to investigate the cause for your sorrow. Then what's your cause for your sorrow? Let's say you lose your family. What's your cause of your sorrow? Attachment, yes, attachment. So you start to know, oh, because of attachment, I feel sorrow. The attachment caused sorrow. So sorrow is the effect. Attachment is the cause. And if you are the advanced meditator, don't note your effect. Tackle the cause. Tackle the cause. If you hear contemplate sorrow, sorrow, impermanent, impermanent, but your attachment to your family member is still very strong, your sorrow also cannot go away. Therefore, at that time, you tackle the cause. Contemplate that attachment. How the attachment is harmful. How the attachment causes suffering. How the attachment is the origin of all suffering. This is the second noble truth. What is the second noble truth? Craving is the origin of all suffering. Then you go back to the second noble truth. You find out the cause of your suffering. Then you tackle the cause. You tackle the effect. It's not useful. Not so fruitful. You tackle the cause. The moment you remove the craving, then the sorrow will disappear. For example, when you are in the forest, you see a tiger or lion, and you see a dog. So you want to kill the lion, and you want to kill the dog. How you kill the dog? Not to say kill lah, you just want to prevent so that they won't come near to you. Okay? So how are you going to prevent to be bitten by the dog? You may throw something to the dog, stick. You throw the stick to the dog, then the dog will run away. Right? But for lion, you throw the stick to the lion, what the lion do? Right? Same thing. So if you throw the stick to the dog, it means that you are killing the effect, not useful one. The craving will come again and again. You will miss your family again and again, and the sorrow come again and again. There's no end to it. So you have to kill the cause. You kill the lion so that lion will not attack you anymore. So you kill the cause, kill your craving. When you kill your craving, then you will not feel sorrowful anymore. So a wise person will not kill the effect, but kill the cause. So how are you going to kill the cause? Same thing, contemplate the cause. Craving is also impermanent. You think craving is permanent. If craving is permanent, let's say I give an example. First, you fall in love with a girlfriend and boyfriend. They fall in love. And they start to dream. Wow, if we married, how nice it will be. Right? So you married. After you married, 9 meals starts. All the suffering starts. No, the wife is not as lovely as what you think before. And your husband, the snoring is so unbearable. So all the nightmare all starts. Right? It's already different. So you do not love your wife like you love your girlfriend. The love is not so deep as when you love your girlfriend. Right? So what does it mean? What does it show? It shows that your love is also conditional. Right? Conditional. When your husband treat you good, you love him more. When your husband beat you every day, then divorce as fast as possible. So the love is also conditional. The love is also impermanent. Don't be cheated. Your love is permanent. Okay? Your love is also impermanent. The attachment is also impermanent. Therefore, you contemplate the craving, the attachment, as impermanent. Sometimes you contemplate it as conditional, it will change. It's changing. It's conditional. It will not last. Only then, gradually, you will remove the craving in your heart. When the craving go away, the suffering will collapse. Suffering will also go away from you, because craving is the origin of all suffering. So this is how you contemplate impermanent, you contemplate suffering, or you contemplate non-self, whatever phenomena that arise in your body and mind. Okay, and do we need to sit still in order to contemplate impermanent? No. While you are moving around, right? For example, when you are in the office, somebody annoys you, and you feel annoyance, then contemplate. You don't have to sit. You say, hold on, don't scold me first, let me contemplate. I sit down properly and contemplate impermanent first. No time. The moment the abusive word come to your ear, stand there and contemplate impermanent. Don't contemplate the content of the abusive word. Don't go to the content. No, what words he used scolding me. If you contemplate in that way, I think you will give him a punch, right? That's called yoniso manasikara. How you contemplate wisely. So people abuse you, don't listen to the words. But quickly, raise your mindfulness, recognize it, accept it, and contemplate impermanent. Stand there and contemplate impermanent until your anger disappear or finish. And the one still very tired, scolding you. The one get very tired, scolding you, and you free from all the anger already. Right? So you are the winner. The other one is the loser. Right? Okay. Another one. Human nature is very strange. For example, you talk, when you have conversation with your friend, and suddenly your friend tell you that Mr. A, your good friend, tell something bad about you. What's your response? Many people say, tell me, what he talk bad about me, tell me. And you know, after you listen, you sure get angry one, right? You know you will get angry, and yet you want to listen. And yet you want to listen fully what he say about bad about you. So human nature is very strange. You inviting defilement to you, right? You inviting something bad to you. So if you are intelligent enough, if your friend tell you, somebody talk bad about you, sorry, I don't want to hear, don't tell me. Otherwise, you get angry, then you get angry with a friend again, and sometimes people, is because of what, storyteller, not true one, sometimes, and you don't have the wisdom to analyze whether what he say correct or not. Or maybe he put more ingredient, he put more salt. put Ajinomoto, then it make the story different already. And why should we so stupid and believe everything? So better say, don't tell me. Thank you. I don't want to listen. This is called wise person. Okay? Otherwise, if you listen already, then you got to start contemplate already. Impermanent anger is impermanent. Keep on contemplating to help yourself get out of that difficult situation. Okay. So this you can apply in your daily life. But you need strong mindfulness. Otherwise, you will be carried away by your emotional for 10 minutes first. Only you remember, Sri Susila said must contemplate impermanent. But still good, better than none. Right? You still can contemplate impermanent until you see your defilement goes away from your heart. Strong refinements takes longer time to contemplate, takes more effort. Slight refinement, 1-2 contemplation, it will go away from your heart. Okay, so this one you can practice in your daily life. If you keep on telling yourself, I have no time to sit, then you should have time to stand, right? Stand and contemplate. You should have time to contemplate impermanent or suffering or non-self whenever the defilements arise in your mind. Anytime, any moment, while you are sitting, standing, walking, or lying down until you fall asleep. And this is very easy to practice. What is difficult is we cannot have that strong mindfulness. We must be carried away by the defilement for some time, only then we realize. Because defilement is burning already, so only then we realize we should do something to extinguish the fire. Then we start to note. Okay? So is it clear to you? So this is the way of practice. Because the time is very short, I cannot give you very long talk. Any question you have regarding this talk? Any question? Yes, yes, me, brother. Aversion, yep. Contemplate a pleasant feeling or neutral. How you must have the method technique. And pain, of course. Okay. If you can, of course, yes. It's also one way, but the way I say is Vipassana way. Vipassana way is higher. That's also can, you transform, let's say, when you get angry, then you do metta. Then you transform the anger by way of metta. That's called changing your mind. Right? But you still do not see impermanent suffering and non-self. Impermanent suffering and non-self is Vipassana way. It's more direct to eradicate your defilements and also directly to change the distorted perception of permanent happiness and self. Your ways also can, no problem. Yes. Any other question you want to ask? If no question, I assume you understand. And hopefully you can apply it whenever you feel the need to apply it. In fact, the need is every time, anytime. You need it all the time. But our mindfulness may not remember it well. So whenever you can remember, you just apply it. Okay?